Remember what we talked about on the flight. The furniture isn't going to disappear. The books won't hurt you. And I already asked her to cover the mirrors just in case. Carlos fiddled with Cecil's hair, making sure all the stray bits from the long flight were somewhat straightened out. How do you know she'll like me? What if she disapproves? Carlos gave his hand a squeeze and rang the doorbell. She'll love you. No sooner had the door opened than Carlos was dragged inside into a tight hug.
Carlito!
The older woman cooed. It was immediately obvious from which side of the family Carlos got his dark eyes and slight build. They even shared the same raven hair, though the old woman's was heavily streaked with silver and smoothly braided over one shoulder.
Te ves bien y tu pelo es lindo!
She tugged at a few of his unruly curls.
Abuela, Carlos groaned.
¿Dónde está tu sorpresa?
She asked, peering around the scientist. He took a step back to pull Cecil into the doorway. Abuela Rosa, this is Cecil. With only a quick glance over, the woman snatched Cecil down into an equally tight embrace.
You can call me abuela,
she told Cecil in a thick, warm accent.
Tu sorpresa es muy guapo,
she intimated to Carlos as she hurried back into the apartment.
Come in,
she called over her shoulder.
What did she say to you?
Cecil whispered.
She says you're very handsome, Carlos replied with a grin.
Dinner was a slightly stressful experience. Over bowls of tortilla soup, Abuela Rosa alternated between chiding Carlos for not visiting sooner and quizzing Cecil with questions ranging from personal questions about his intentions in dating her grandson to general questions about the town where he grew up. With his boyfriend's whispered permission, Cecil answered every question as simply as he could. Even so, the interview was still peppered with frequent additions on the scientist's part of, we weren't actually pleading with an architectural structure for our lives. It's more of a Thanksgiving folk tradition. And he's not literally a dragon. He just comes across a bit intimidating. The soup ran out long before the questions. Carlos was about to suggest holding the rest of the interrogation for the next morning's flight to Massachusetts when Cecil took advantage of a lull in conversation. Excuse me, but where is your bathroom? He asked politely. The old woman's expression immediately transitioned from quizzical back into a crinkled smile.
End of the hallway on the left,
she replied. Carlos began to stack the empty dishes on the table.
Carlos? Cecil asked very softly, causing the scientist to turn. Are you sure the mirror is covered?
Though Carlos suspected outside Night Vale the mirrors would pose little to no threat, it wasn't a hypothesis he was willing to test with Cecil's life, so he had requested ahead of time that any mirrors in guest bedrooms be moved or covered. Yeah, he assured, as he went back to collecting silverware. Cecil shifted uncomfortably in the hallway.
Can you check? The way Cecil looked like a lost puppy as he stood out of sorts in the very normal hallway tugged at the scientist's heart a little. Of course. He abandoned the cleanup to double-check the safety of the bathroom. By the time he returned, alone, back to the kitchen, his grandmother was already scrubbing at the plates in the sink and eyeing him curiously. He waved away her unasked question. It's a religious thing.
No mirror seems to be an odd thing to believe in,
the old woman shrugged. Cecil's spent his whole life in a very odd town. He's a little strange, but in a good way, Carlos quickly amended.
Is there anything specific I should do to help?
She offered, rinsing a handful of spoons. The scientist shook his head, plunging his hands into the soapy water to help. Actually, he added as an afterthought, extra blankets would be great. Cecil is almost always cold. His grandmother dried her hands on her floral apron and left in search of extra blankets. Cecil smiled gratefully at the small woman as he clutched the Velux blanket to his chest.
Is there anything else you need?
She asked as she backed through the doorway. Actually, yes. I was wondering, what is the correct procedure for getting into the bed? It was a logical question. In Night Vale, it was common courtesy when hosting guests to leave a simple card on the pillow, or at the very least, a quick verbal explanation of the procedure most pleasing to the particular bed to avoid being tossed out in your sleep. Or worse, absorbed, as Cecil's second cousin Frederick had once been unfortunate enough to experience. Rosa stared at him for a very long moment. Cecil glanced around uncomfortably, suddenly afraid he had said something dreadfully offensive. That's all right, he amended quickly. I'll figure it out. Thank you. Cecil flashed his most winning smile, receiving a nod in response. She closed the door and walked wordlessly down the narrow hallway. Carlos was still busily scrubbing away at the soup pan in the sink, humming an off-key Christmas carol.
I'm beginning to see what you mean about him being strange. He just asked me how to get in a bed,
she said, as she began to dry the bowls one by one and replace them in the cupboard. Carlos let out a laugh at all the precautionary warnings they had discussed on the flight that his boyfriend had apparently very quickly forgotten.
Definitely the most unusual you brought home. Though also my favorite.
Why is that?
Because he really loves you,
she replied simply. How do you know he loves me? Carlos asked as he rinsed out the inside of the pot and handed it to his grandmother's waiting towel.
He listens carefully to every word you say without interrupting. He pretends not to notice when you slurp your soup. His face went very red every time you said his name. It isn't hard to see, really. With all those fancy degrees of yours, I can't believe you didn't figure it out by now.
Carlos felt his cheeks flush. No, I know he loves me. I just didn't know it was so obvious to everyone else, he mumbled.
He respects you too,
she continued, as she handed him the pan, counting on his extra few inches of height to reach the dish's precarious home above the refrigerator.
And more importantly, he respects me.
Abuelita, Carlos laughed as he perched the pot as best he could.
Most importantly, he makes you happier than you've been for a very long time. You smile so much and you're so well fed and that flush to your cheeks.
She pinched them for good measure.
Ah, nieto.
Carlos smiled as he wiped needlessly at the spotless countertop. All his life, his grandmother had been the one he went to for everything from homework help to dating advice. Her opinion had carried the most weight in every major decision in his life. More than he assumed even she knew.
He's good for you, Carlito. Don't let that boy go,
she finished. Carlos grinned and leaned down to plant a kiss on her cheek. I'm glad you approve, Abuelita. She laughed and shooed him away with her towel.
You get on the bed. I can clean the rest of this.
Carlos paused outside the door to his old bedroom, trying to brace himself to avoid not laughing too hard. He opened the door to see Cecil sitting cross-legged with his back against the far wall, staring intently at the bed. He was clutching a folded pastel pink Velux blanket tightly to his chest, and looking up at Carlos apologetically.
I couldn't figure out how to get into the bed.
Carlos crossed his arms and leaned against the doorframe, unable to stop the grin from spreading across his face at the sight of his fish-out-of-water boyfriend.
I've had one too many close calls with furniture. I mean, I once had this second cousin, Frederick, who was absorbed straight into the mattress. It was downright horrifying.
Carlos wandered over and crouched down to eye level with Cecil.
That does sound horrifying, he replied, removing one of Cecil's hands from its death grip on the blanket and pressing the palm to his lips.
I think beds are different here, though. Not quite as violent. He brushed his thumb across Cecil's hand before standing and pulling the other man to his feet as well. In fact, you can just climb right in. No ceremony or sacrifice or even any chanting.
Cecil cast a doubtful glance behind Carlos to the small mattress. His lavender eyes widened after a moment.
Your grandmother must think I'm insane, he whispered.
Carlos laughed, pulling Cecil in for a kiss.
My grandmother thinks you're good for me.
He kissed Cecil again, using the distraction to gently tug the Velux blanket from the man's hands. Pulling away, he tossed the blanket on the bed and took both of Cecil's now free hands. They were clammy, unsteady, out of place in the foreign environment.
Would you like a hot chocolate?
Isn't it a bit late? We shouldn't wake your grandmother, Cecil hesitated.
She'll be up watching novellas for a while.
Carlos stepped backwards towards the door, pulling Cecil with him.
I'll show you my favorite thinking place.
Cecil smiled shyly and complied, allowing himself to be pulled down the narrow hall behind Carlos. The scientist mixed them each a mug of cocoa, complete with little star marshmallows from the pantry, much to Cecil's delight. And, mugs in hand, they crept to the window in the small dining area. Carlos set the drinks on the little table and shoved the pane of the window upward until it opened with a rusty squeak. Sounds that Cecil hadn't noticed were muffled suddenly grew to full volume. Traffic horns, the cacophony of more than one nearby apartment competing with rap music. Somewhere in the distance, a lone siren howling. Carlos climbed through the window onto the metal fire escape outside with practiced ease. He leaned back through, carefully lifting the mugs of cocoa and setting them on the rusty platform, and reaching a hand that Cecil grasped shakily, uncertain by such behavior. In Night Vale, windows were almost always barred, not to keep things out, but as a precautionary measure by the sheriff's secret police to keep residents in. Carlos led him up a seemingly endless zigzag maze of stairs until they finally reached the top floor. In the dizzying sea of lights below that seemed alive with movement and sound, he chose to focus on Carlos, the steady and fixed point in his reality, to keep from losing balance. Carlos unhinged the latch on the fence surrounding the rooftop and swung the door wide, motioning for Cecil to enter first. The rooftop was home to a small, straggling garden filled with twisting, climbing plants escaping their pots. In any other setting, it would have seemed bedraggled and dismal, but as the two of them settled down right in the middle of the rows of struggling begonias, Cecil thought it was the most beautiful place in the world. So, this is your thinking place? Cecil asked, with a sigh that swirled visibly into the drifting snowflakes.
Yeah, I used to come up here whenever my grandma was fighting with my uncle. It was my escape, I guess.
I come up here after bedtime some nights too, just to listen to the city.
Carlos closed his eyes, drinking in the sounds of urban life beneath them. I'd fall asleep, pretending I could see the stars. As Cecil looked up, for the first time realizing the lack of stars, he suddenly began to panic. The void is so vast here. I've never seen it so empty. Carlos, that can't be normal, can it? I mean, Cecil. Carlos cupped Cecil's face with a hand.
It's okay, he smiled.
It's not void. It's just the light of the city outshining the stars.
Cecil glanced back up at the night sky uneasily.
In fact, even back home, Carlos felt Cecil shiver slightly at his use of the word home to denote Night Vale. Just because you can't see stars doesn't mean it's void. The stars are just too far away to be seen.
Cecil shook his head vehemently.
It's not, though. Sometimes it's void. The edge of uncertainty in his voice reminded Carlos just how shaken up the whole trip to reality had gotten Cecil. The scientist kissed his cheek sweetly.
Maybe you're right.
They were quiet for a moment as they sipped at their cocoa.
Thanks for coming with me, Carlos finally said as he emptied his mug and set it carefully on the ground.
He snuggled closer to Cecil, tucking himself comfortably under his boyfriend's arm.
Of course, Cecil replied quietly.
I mean it, though, Carlos continued. I know things here are different and strange, and probably a little scary, and it means a lot that you came with me, and that I can share my world with you.
Carlos, can I ask you something? Cecil ventured hesitantly.
You can always ask me anything, Carlos replied, as he absently played with Cecil's fingers, interlocking them with his own, before untwining them again one by one.
Why did you grow up with your grandmother?
Cecil chose the words tactfully, afraid of adding injury to some unknown hurt.
Carlos stopped his rhythmic twiddling and was quiet for a long time.
I'm sorry, that was inappropriate, Cecil hurried. If you don't want to talk about it or it's uncomfortable...
It's fine, Carlos said, gently placing a hand on Cecil's knee.
They tell me my mother was a good person, he began slowly. They say she believed in the best in everyone, even sometimes when it wasn't really there.
He dropped his gaze to his lap before continuing. She was almost out of high school when she met a guy, saw the best in him.
She dropped out of school to have my brother, Cristobal, and my sister, Cassania. They're twins.
And then me, not even a full year later. She didn't realize, until she woke up on her 19th birthday, that she had been wrong. Some people don't have any good in them at all.
He hesitated a moment before continuing.
She did what she could as a single mom, and for a while we were okay. She worked three jobs, two waitressing, one providing company over the phone. She would come home and escape reality. I guess we all have our escapes. Hers was heroin.
Carlos stopped to look up at the starless sky. One day, when I was three, she died trying to escape. Cecil was quiet, unsure how to respond, but Carlos smiled slightly.
It's not as depressing a story as it sounds, really. Chris and Cassie and I stayed there in New Mexico for a while, living with my tia Maria,
but she already had two children of her own, and another on the way. So it was decided that I would come live here with Abuela Rosa and my tío Cisco. He had some crazy dream about opening a brewery here in the city, and my grandmother moved here with him years prior to help him out. Never really left after that, I guess. He took a deep breath. I grew up somewhere in between. Spent my summers in the desert sun with my siblings, and the rest of my time here, helping out at the bar, and watching reruns of La Usurpadora until 2 every morning. Cecil laughed quietly, still attempting to process such a large amount of information he never imagined about Carlos. He found a strange new respect for the scientist and just how far he had come. Carlos was the smartest person Cecil knew, but he had never stopped to consider just how hard the man had worked to earn all his prestigious degrees and scientific achievements.
"You never met your father then?" he asked after a while.
"I don't think I'd want to, even if I ever did find out who he was," Carlos replied bitterly. Cecil wasn't quite sure how to respond, until the words began to leave his lips without much conscious thought.
"I lost my mother when I was young, too."
Carlos turned to look at him, a soft curiosity in his expression. He had heard rumors about Cecil having a family once, but he had never asked if they held any truth.
"You never told me that," Carlos replied quietly.
"You never asked," Cecil shrugged. There was no judgment in the statement, no indignation, simply fact. "I think you would have liked my mother. She was fascinating, even to me." He smiled fondly. "She was a seer, a real one, with a third eye and everything. She saw things that no one else could see. She could predict the future. She knew things about everyone in town without even having to try." The pride was evident in his voice. "She was amazing." He paused for a long time, and Carlos wondered if he was going to continue at all. Finally, he did. "Then one day, when I was 15, I woke up and she was gone."
"Gone?" Carlos repeated curiously.
Cecil nodded.
"Without a trace. All her belongings were gone, and so were all the pictures of us. Everything. No one could remember her, not even her best friend Annie, who still works down at the beauty parlor." Cecil laughed dryly to himself. "For a while, I thought I was going crazy, until Josie found me wandering through the sand wastes. She told me my mother had seen something she wasn't supposed to, and that it would be better if I found a way to forget everything they had taken from me." His voice lowered to a whisper, his eyes fixed on some distant memory. "I don't know how I could ever forget her."
He shook his head suddenly, a smile returning to his face. "Josie took care of me after that, helped me get through school, taught me how to live on my own. I think they had taken someone from her, too, a long time ago. So it gave us a strange sort of bond." Carlos nodded understandingly. "I didn't know my father either. Never could get a straight answer out of my mom. She would always change her story. Sometimes he was an ancient demigod that created our little desert. Other times, a vanishing hitchhiker she picked up out by exit 66. Once, she even told me it was old Alfred, who owns the 7-Eleven down on Lincoln." Cecil finished with a laugh.
He rubbed absently at the violet eye etched at the base of his neck. And Carlos finally began to piece the story together bit by bit.
"Was that the day the tattoos appeared?" he ventured softly, poking a wiggling pentagram that had wandered its way to Cecil's wrist.
"Nah," Cecil replied, shaking his head.
"Just the one," he added, tapping the eye with a fingertip. "Do you see things too?"
Carlos's voice quavered slightly as he asked, unsure if he really wanted to know or not. Again, Cecil shook his head, though with less conviction.
"Not the same way she could," Cecil added sadly.
Carlos studied him carefully.
"How do you see?"
I see emotions as colours that fade in and out of clarity," Cecil replied faintly. "Sometimes I catch glimpses of premonitions. Like déjà vu, but stronger. If I can focus, I can..." He trailed off for a moment, trying to select the right word. "I can feel someone, their thoughts and feelings, and their presence."
He peeked at Carlos cautiously, unsure how the scientist would react to the news that his boyfriend was secretly a little paranormal. Carlos reached up and gently slipped off Cecil's thick-framed glasses, looking intently into his eyes of pale indigo.
"What do you see?" he whispered, tilting his head to one side.
Cecil paused for a moment, his eyes searching Carlos's face carefully.
"You're curious, but I don't think you're afraid," he replied finally, a hint of a smile dancing at the edge of his mouth.
"Exactly. I have known for a very long time now that you're not entirely explainable. But I stopped being afraid of things I can't explain about the time I realized I can't really explain anything at all."
Cecil couldn't help but smile, pleased at how well Carlos took the news, given he had spent many long and sleepless nights worrying about this very conversation.
"Carlos," he said seriously after a moment, "I want you to know I've never tried to read you. I've never tried to see inside your mind, and I never will."
"Thank you," the scientist said, as he leaned his head on Cecil's chest, allowing his boyfriend to wrap his arms closer. After a moment spent just listening to the sound of the city's song far below them, he peeked mischievously out of the top of his eyes.
"Cecil, what colour does love look like?"
Cecil thought for a moment.
"I don't think there's a name for it. Passionate physical attraction, on the other hand, is a lovely deep red," he teased, leaning down for a nibble on the sensitive skin behind his boyfriend's ear.
Carlos laughed. "I have always appreciated your use of subtle segues."
Cecil grinned at the compliment, sneaking quick kisses up the back of Carlos's neck.
"How late do those novellas run again?" he whispered seductively before sneaking another kiss.
Carlos shook his head and playfully pushed Cecil away.
"You realize we have to be awake and at the airport in..."
He wriggled an arm free and checked the new watch he had bought at the airport gift shop.
"5 hours?"
Cecil sighed dramatically. "Time here is different than Night Vale. You're going to be surprised just how fast it goes," Carlos said, as he pushed himself to his feet and reached out a hand to help Cecil up. As Cecil gained his balance, Carlos pulled him close, wrapping his arms around the taller man's waist. "I do love you, though." Cecil beamed, leaning down and wrapping his arms in turn around Carlos. He kissed the scientist on the nose. "And I love you very much," Cecil replied. Snagging the mugs, they crept back down the ridiculously noisy fire escape and crawled through the fourth-story window into Abuela Rosa's dining room. Hand in hand, they tripped over objects in the darkened apartment, muffling their giggles and whispered cursing as they stumbled to find the guest room in the dark. They changed out of their slightly snowy clothes and carefully folded their glasses on the dresser. Carlos set the clock, which he was unspeakably grateful worked, to wake them up in time to leave for the airport, and was about to collapse into bed when he caught his boyfriend's nervous expression. He took Cecil by both hands across the striped bedspread. "Count of three. Just jump in, okay? I won't let you get absorbed," he said, trying his best to maintain a straight face. Cecil took a deep breath. "Uno, dos, tres," Carlos counted, and the two jumped onto the bed, for a moment forgetting they were supposed to be adults. It was funny, Carlos thought, that Cecil had that effect on him. Sometimes he felt like a teenager falling in love for the first time all over again. Other times, he felt like a little kid exploring a big world with his best friend. Frequently, he had to remind himself he was 30 now, and that Cecil was... who knew how old, really? He'd never thought to outright ask. It was a reaction he would have to study further. Sometime later, when he wasn't too busy carving their names into the trees in Mission Grove Park, or convincing Cecil it was silly to wear matching polka dot ties on date night.